where in a sense my time is gone. It's past the time we should be leaving church. But perhaps you will allow me about 15 minutes or so to say something this evening. As I said, it was wonderful to be asked to come along, and we have prepared something, and I would like just in a moment or two refer to what God has been laying on my heart. What I want us to do this evening is to think about one of the first missionaries whom we come across in the New Testament. And that man's name is Barnabas. He's someone who flits in and out of the Acts of the Apostles. We come across him first in Acts chapter 4, and there we're told that he comes from the island of Cyprus. We're told that he's a landowner. He sells a field, and realizing that there is a financial need in the church, he brings the proceeds and lays it at the apostles' feet. Now, that's the first reference we have to him. Then in Acts chapter 9, we come across him again. You remember Saul is converted on the Damascus Road, and he goes into Damascus and lives there for a time. And then he wants to do something. He wants to join the church at Jerusalem. He tries to join, but they won't accept him. They know his past. But Barnabas becomes his sponsor. And Barnabas tells the church in Jerusalem how he was converted on the road to Damascus, tells them of how he has been preaching Christ in Damascus. And as a result of what Barnabas says, Saul is accepted into the church in Jerusalem. Then the third reference we have to him is in that passage that we read from Acts chapter 11. There we're told that there are some men who come from Cyprus and Cyrene, and they go along to Antioch. They don't preach to the Jews, but they preach to the Greeks. And as a result of what they say, a great number of Greeks believed. When the church in Jerusalem hears about what has been happening, they decide that they should send someone along. And whom do they choose? They choose Barnabas. And Barnabas comes to Antioch, and he sees the wonderful work that God has been doing, but he realizes this, it's far too big for him. He needs assistance. And he goes in search of Saul. He finds him in Tarsus, and he brings him along to Antioch. And we're told that for a whole year, they minister together to those who have been converted, seeking to build them up in their faith. And in that passage we read, we're told this about Barnabas. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. A wonderful servant of the Lord. He's an example to us all. Whoever we are tonight, if we're in Christ, then Barnabas is an example to us all. I want to say three things just very briefly about him. And the first is this. He was a man with a big heart. Now, what do I mean when I say he was a man with a big heart? A man who has a big heart is ready to forgive. And Barnabas was ready to forgive. He knew what Saul had done, and yet he was willing and ready to forgive him and introduce him to the church in Jerusalem. He was a man, too, who was willing to give people a second chance, and that's a man with a big heart. We read in the Acts of the Apostles of Barnabas and Saul and John Mark going on a missionary journey. Somewhere along the line, John Mark deserts. Paul resents what John Mark has done. And when they are to set out again on a journey, Paul says no to John Mark. He won't have him. But Barnabas forgives him. And Barnabas gives him a second chance. taking him with him to minister in the things of the gospel. A man with a big heart. He was also a man with a big heart in that as he looked around him, he could see men and women who were dying outside Christ, and he was willing to take risks in order that he might reach them. You know, I believe that in the church today, we need men and women with big hearts. Men and women who will take risks in order that they might welcome into the church those who are outside it and who need to be brought in. John Stott, in his book, The Contemporary Christian, tells of going on a visit to Latin America. And he went to the capital city in one of the countries that he was visiting. And he came to a square in that city. And along the one side of the square, there was a huge cathedral. John Stott said that he went up to the cathedral door. It was closed. And there were steps leading up to the cathedral. And as he stood there and looked at the steps, what did he see? He saw three individuals. Who were they? Well, there was a drunk. And John Stott tells us this, he was vomiting copiously. There was a blind man. And what was this blind man trying to do? Sell matches in order that he might have money for food. And there was a woman standing on the steps there. And what was she doing? She was a prostitute, selling herself to anyone who would pass by. And as Stott stood there on those steps, and as he thought about that closed cathedral, he wondered what the church was really doing. He says he felt that the church was saying this, keep out. We don't want you. And friends, I believe that sometimes that's what some folks out there think about us. They think that we don't really want them. You know, sometimes as a church, we're too middle class, aren't we? And I believe we've got to take risks in order that we might reach those within our community who need to be saved. William Booth, you remember, was the founder of the Salvation Army. And in 1885, he went to London for a mass rally. And there were literally tens of thousands of people there. And Booth stood up before them, and one of the things that he always wanted to do was to engage his audience. And as he looked at the audience, he shouted down to them, "How wide is the girth of the world?" And back came the reply from the audience, 25,000 miles. Then Booth put his arms out like this, and he roared, "Then we must grow till our arms get right round about it." And isn't that true? We must grow until we reach out to all. And to do that, we have to have big hearts. Barnabas was a man with a big heart. Then the second thing that I want you to note about him is this. He was a man who was willing to make sacrifices. He brought the proceeds of that sale and he laid it at the apostles' feet. And you know, he must have been very well off in Cyprus. But he left there in order that he might become a missionary. He sacrificed in order that he might reach out with the gospel. That's something we must do, isn't it? There are times when you and I have got to make sacrifices in order that we might reach out. One of the things I do as a minister is read over and over again 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm told of what I ought to be as a minister. Courageous, gracious, having one master. And then in verse 8, Paul says this, "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well." And that's what we've got to do as Christians. Share our lives with folks. When I was a lad, in my teens, I had the wonderful privilege of hearing someone speak, Gladys Aylward. She spoke in the Mall Presbyterian Church in Armagh. I've never forgotten that meeting. You've seen the film, The Inn of the Sixth Happiness. You know, she's a very different person. She was a tiny little lady. I remember we had to get something for her to stand on in the pulpit so that she could be seen over the pulpit fall. But she was a lovely lady. And she was a missionary, wasn't she? She worked amongst the Chinese children, and there were many of them who came to faith in Jesus Christ through her ministry. She wrote something. And I want to read what she wrote. Just listen to this. "I have not done what I wanted to. I have not eaten what I wanted or worn what I would have chosen. I have lived in houses that I would not have looked at twice. I long for a husband and babies, but God never gave them. Instead, he left me alone for 17 years with one book, a Chinese Bible. I don't know anything about the latest novels, pictures, and theaters. I live in a rather outdated world. And I suppose some would say it is awful miserable, isn't it? Friends, I've been one of the happiest women who stepped on this earth. I have known the heavens opening and the blessings tumbling out." She went to live with these Chinese children. And what a joy and a thrill it was to her just to see them respond to Jesus Christ. Are you ready to go and live with some people? One thing, you know, to preach. It's one thing to speak. It's another thing to come alongside people in life. Barnabas was such a man. One final thought. Barnabas was a man who was full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a wonderful person. What does he do? He enables me to see something of the wonder of God. He enables me to see how much God loved me in sending his Son into the world to die for me. But the Holy Spirit enables me to see that I'm a sinner in need of salvation. It's the Holy Spirit who leads me to the cross. And it is the Holy Spirit who enables me to accept Christ into my life. And then he does something. He regenerates me. He gives me life. He makes me new. The Holy Spirit. And here was a man who was full of the Holy Spirit. You know, after we've committed our lives to Christ, he goes on working in them, doesn't he? A work of sanctification, enabling us more and more to die unto sin and live unto holiness. God wants me to be a holy person. He wants me to be a godly person. Because it's only as I am a godly person that my message will reach people. You see, my life and my message have to complement one another. Richard Baxter, the great Puritan preacher, wrote these words: "Take heed to yourselves, lest your example contradict your doctrine, and lest you lay such stumbling blocks before the blind as may be the occasion of their ruin, lest you unsay with your lives what you say with your tongues. It is a fearful thing to be an unsanctified minister." Tell me tonight, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you? Have you come to that place where you have allowed, through the Holy Spirit, Christ to come into your life and be regenerated? And tell me, are you living a holy life? Are you? Because it's that sort of life that will be effective in the community where we're placed. Barnabas, man with a big heart. Oh, may God give us big hearts. Man who was willing to make sacrifices. May we be willing to do that. Man who was filled by the Holy Spirit. May God, by His grace, enable us to say, "Lord, here I am. Take me and fill me and make me what you want me to be." Is that you tonight? You'll never be effective for Christ until you do that. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for Barnabas, for the powerful influence he had on Saul. We thank you for the way in which he was able to forgive, give a second chance. And we thank you for his love of people. We thank you for everything that he did for you on earth. And we thank you for the way in which you filled him with the Holy Spirit and faith. Lord, tonight just come to us. As in the quietness, we would recognize our needs. And even as we confess those needs unto you, grant that you will come and minister. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.